This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. As we've seen, pandemic or not, a conservationist work carries on as threats to the survival of wildlife continues. The same is the case for Dr. Chen Pelfnyok and her team at the Turtle Conservation Society of Malaysia, who have been working tirelessly to ensure the survival of river terrapins, a critically endangered freshwater turtle species here in Malaysia. The pandemic has brought some new challenges, but also some new solutions too. And I'm going to find out all about it from Dr. Pelf herself, who is the co-founder and executive director of the Turtle Conservation Society of Malaysia. Welcome, Pelf. How are you today?
Hello, Juliet. Thank you for having me again on the show. I'm good. I hope you're well too.
I am, thank you. And it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. I always look forward to chatting with you and to find out what's happening over in Terengganu. Pelf, last year, you know, we caught up in July. And that was on a slightly more promising note because we were in the recovery phase of the pandemic. And yes, things have, you know, gone much different route at the moment. But before we get into that, I think, you know, for the benefit of those who aren't familiar with the work that you do, can you just remind us about what the Turtle Conservation Society of Malaysia does?
Right. Well, Juliet, July last year sounds like a couple of years ago.
It feels like it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Right. So I co-founded Turtle Conservation Society of Malaysia. In short, we call ourselves TCS in 2011 to protect and conserve freshwater turtles in the country. And we do this by conducting research projects, conservation programs with the local communities. Before COVID, we used to go to schools and conduct awareness programs, educational camps with kids, with students, and also we initiated a women empowerment program in July 2019. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, so much that you guys do. And of course, you know, the little heroes that we are trying to save here are the river terrapins, right? And as I mentioned, they're critically endangered freshwater turtle species. Can you remind us again about why they face so many threats?
Yeah, so these river terrapins, they are critically endangered due to many threats, but the three top threats here in Malaysia are number one, the consumption of their eggs. The local villagers have been consuming terrapin eggs for decades, you know, so but because they have been consuming these eggs, none of the terrapins hatch and none of them were recruited, like released into the river. So that has contributed to the drastic decline of this population. And number two, we have local villagers who use fishing gears, not to catch terrapins, but to catch fish and prawns. But terrapins, unfortunately, get stuck. And when that happens, and we don't go and rescue them, they drown. So that's also a big threat that we don't see. And number three, sand mining. Sand mining operations is a big thing in Southeast Asia. And when sand is mined from a terrapin nesting bank, we destroy completely the bank that they need to lay their eggs. So yeah. What happens when we destroy the nesting banks? These terrapins have no place to lay their eggs. So eggs that are laid in the water, in the river, will not hatch. Yeah, so that those are the threats that the terrapins face day in, day out.
And other things also have been the number of terrapin landings and nesting grounds also have dropped drastically over the past few years. But you were also, if I remember correctly, last year when we were speaking, you said that situation had actually improved, right?
That situation improved in 2018 and then
That's
it dropped.
Right. Oh, no. Uh-huh. Okay, okay.
So there are many factors. Okay, for example, it's very simple. I put it in a simple way. In along the Kemaman River, there are about 10 to 15 suitable terrapin nesting banks. And we are only maintaining our presence on four of those banks. So what this means is that if terrapins don't come to us, they may have gone to another bank, right? It doesn't necessarily mean they are gone. It doesn't necessarily mean they are dead. It may just be that they have gone to another nesting bank to deposit their eggs. Yeah, and when the conditions on any of our banks become favorable after each monsoon, then they come back.
Okay, all right. So that's a situation that's quite fluid in that sense,
uh-huh,
right?
Right. Yeah. Yes, unless we are able to protect and maintain the presence on all the nesting banks along the Kemaman River, we won't be able to have a definitive answer lah of how many terrapins actually are reproducing.
Okay. And, you know, part of your work, of course, has been to educate people about, you know, the need to protect these terrapins, of course, and to protect them, to preserve them, and to stop, you know, people from collecting and eating their eggs. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes, that is a big part of our conservation efforts, because what is the point if we are trying to help save this species from becoming extinct and at the same time the local villagers are still consuming the eggs, right? Yeah, so that has been a big part of our work, communicating, especially with the local villagers, the local folks, because these are the ones who have access to terrapin eggs.
Mm. And am I correct that last year, the Terengganu government, agreed to amend the existing enactment on turtles to ban the sale of all types of turtle eggs, right? Because I think previously it was just only for the leatherback turtle eggs. Am I correct? I'm sorry if I'm getting it wrong. But is there any progress on that?
Right. Okay. So what you're talking about now is the sea turtles.
Okay, so that's different.
Sometime end of last year or beginning of this year, because my calendar has blurred.
time has no meaning anymore.
Right. The Terengganu state government did make such an amendment. And if I'm not mistaken as well, it is supposed to come into effect end of this year, sometime in November/December. But that's sea turtles. So for river terrapins, they are a totally protected species since 11 years ago in 2010. And what this means is that since 2010, nobody should possess terrapin eggs or terrapin hatchlings or the adults. Yeah, so technically, whatever the local villagers are doing is illegal. Technically, right? It is illegal in the face of the laws. But that again, we would need enforcement officers to come to the ground to enforce this law.
And that's difficult under circumstances.
That is difficult, right? And because we are a non-profit organization, we do not have enforcement powers. So what we are doing is to work with the local communities, to work with them instead of, you know, telling them we want to take you to the police station or whatever you're doing is wrong. In fact, I think they know whatever they're doing is wrong, but they've been doing it for so many years, right? So we are taking another approach to be friends with them, to work with them so that they see the value in our conservation work.
Mm-hmm. And I always remember this story of you, you know, sharing how you were this only non-Muslim Chinese scientist coming to this, you know, predominantly Malay Muslim village and, you know, just becoming part of the community, right? And gaining their trust and you know, helping them to understand that you didn't just kind of parachute in there to kind of tell them what to do, but really to work together, you know, for the greater good as such.
Right. Yep. So I'm acutely aware that I am different. Yeah. But the local villagers didn't make me feel that I was different. Yeah. So that's a very important aspect of this project.
Yeah. And tell me about that, actually, you know, I mean, just for people to know as well. I know you've told me before, but, you know, remind us how you actually got to know the local community, how you engaged with them and how you got them to, you know, participate in the conservation program as well.
Well, it has taken me 10 years to do this. Right, but when I first entered the village in Kampung Pasir Gajah in Kemaman, it was to conduct a questionnaire-based survey. I wanted to find out whether the terrapins, the river terrapins specifically, were found in this river and whether any conservation work was being taken at that time. So that was 11 years ago. So then we had our first team of five local men who were former poachers. So before I came into the pictures, they were poachers. They were collecting the terrapin eggs for their own consumption. And then I invited them to join our team. And I told them right from the beginning that this wasn't a get-rich-quick scheme because there wasn't a lot of money to throw around. But they said yes, they wanted to help us do it. Yeah, so that was how our first terrapin guardians, the first five team of terrapin guardians were formed. And in the past 10 years, I have attended numerous community events like Gotong Royong, Kenduri Kawin, wedding luncheons, as mm-hmm. well as funerals, community events basically. And then they started adding me into their WhatsApp chat groups.
Then you know you're in.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yep. So that was how the story started lah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you mentioned earlier as well, you know, you did a lot of education programs, you did, you went to schools, you know, you tried to get especially the younger ones on board, isn't it? I mean, that was a vital part of your work as well.
Right. So before COVID, BC, we used to go to schools and we used to conduct a 3-hour turtle camp with 11-year-old students. So before 2020, we have been to more than 120 schools and reached out to more than 15,000 students in the state of Terengganu. Yeah, okay. So those programs were very important because these programs were targeted at schools that are located near rivers or on the coastal community, in the coastal kampung, because they are the parents of these kids, especially the fathers. Their fathers would be those who bring back turtle eggs, sea turtle eggs or terrapin eggs. Yeah, so we targeted our turtle camps to these communities because we wanted the children to see that if we had let the turtles survive and not eat the eggs, that these turtles can hatch regardless of whether they are sea turtles or river terrapins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was quite successful. If I remember correctly, what you were telling me, like the kids were really into this, and you know, because like you said, the elders have been doing it for generations, right? It's just a tradition that was passed down. But to actually get the younger ones to change their mindset, that was really, really helpful.
Right, right. And of course, I wanted to say it was successful, this whole turtle camp programs. But I like going to the schools because they call me Kak Chen. So I'm 40 and they still call me Kak Chen. So that's like an achievement. but that aside, I've had students who came to tell me after the camps that they will not eat turtle eggs anymore. So all these students who were not listening during the talk, all this seems small matter, you know, when you have one or two students who come to you and say they promise not to eat turtle eggs anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, any victory, any small victory.
Yes, small wins.
I'm speaking today to Dr. Chen Pelf Nyok. She's the co-founder and executive director of the Turtle Conservation Society of Malaysia. We're talking about all the work that they do through the Turtle Conservation Society of Malaysia. But after we come back from this quick break, I'm going to ask Pelf about the challenges that the pandemic has brought to the work that they're doing, and also some of the solutions that Pelf and the folks at the Turtle Conservation Society of Malaysia have come up with to help, you know, aid in that. And so that's coming up after this quick break. You're listening to Earth Matters on The Big a Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me today is the lovely Dr. Chen Pelf Nyok. She's the co-founder and executive director of the Turtle Conservation Society of Malaysia. They basically work tirelessly to ensure the survival of river terrapins, which are a critically endangered freshwater turtle species here in Malaysia. So before the break, Pelf was reminding us about all the work that TCS does, and you know, all the work that they've been doing this past decade. Now, Pelf, you know, just to talk about the pandemic, which of course has affected everyone, including you and the work that you're doing. You know, as you said before the break, prior to the pandemic, BC, before COVID, you could go to schools, you could, you know, meet kids. You know, all of that has stopped. How has the pandemic affected your work?
Well, the pandemic has affected our work drastically, not just in the implementation of existing programs, but it has also affected the planning of our future programs because, you know, we are a non-profit organization, right? So a big chunk of our income, our revenue comes from our educational programs, outreach programs, as well as public donations. So I'm sure you can see how not just the income, our income has been affected, but also our ability to continue making an impact to the local communities as well as school students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And How have you managed to counter that? I know there's virtual tours now. You know, you've come up with all sorts of different other programs. Tell me about those. You know, what are some of the solutions that you've come up with?
The first thing that I did was I stopped accepting student interns, because we had to cut down on our operations, our activities, right? Because, you know, we could no longer go to schools, we could no longer host 3-day, 2-night programs. So I could no longer accept student interns because I was worried I couldn't give them the training that they needed. Right. So, and I really don't think it's fair to accept student interns and make them make Canva posters for 2 months. That's not very fair, because our work doesn't just revolve around making Canva posters and social media posts. But that is what is happening right now. Right. And because interns can't come over because I have not been accepting them, we have also been quite successful at reducing expenses. For example, I rent an office. It is actually a double-story house, and student interns could stay upstairs of the office. But because the interns aren't here, I was able to keep our electricity bills down to 4 ringgit per month.
Wow. Okay.
We work from home. Sometimes when I need to use the printer or conference calls, and I come over to the office. When I'm done, I go back home. There's no other person here. So it's safe. Yeah. So that's very drastic, lah, if you ask me. Okay. Right.
Yeah,
but in terms
of
pivoting from conducting educational programs, we are now hosting more of these educational programs online. We are able to reach a wider group of audience, because right now we can also speak to kids in KL, in Penang, in Malacca, not just those in Terengganu. But then we really are missing our targeted group, which is the local communities in Terengganu. Yeah, these are people whose parents bring back turtle eggs, right? And these are people we really need to educate and make them see the importance of protecting and conserving our local turtle species. Yeah, so I don't think there is a perfect solution for this yet, but we will continue doing what we do and continue looking for avenues to reach out to these students that we are targeting.
Okay. All right. I know one of the things many people that I've spoken to say that, yes, we have the audience that we can reach is far wider in that sense, right? But it's interesting that you say that your target audience are not being met in this situation, unfortunately.
Yes.
That's okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
But, you know, part of your work, of course, as we mentioned, is, you know, a lot of community work. And even last year, you were telling me how you've been helping the local community, the women in the local community, actually through a lot of projects, you know, some microfinancing, but, you know, helping them to market some of their products, teaching them skills on how to make things and all of that. Can you remind us about that?
Right. So I've been in the field of turtle conservation long enough to accept and acknowledge that we do not just work with river terrapins because we want to save them from extinction. A big part of our work also involves working with the local communities. And for the longest time, I was missing this piece of the puzzle because I was working with a man in the local kampong and we were going to schools, but we were not reaching out to the women in the local communities. And being a woman myself, I know what we are thinking all the time. Money, right? The women think about money all the time and how to pay bills and how to buy school shoes for our kids and how to stretch our ringgit so that, you know, with this amount of money, we can cook more meals. And then this idea came to me in 2019, where we could also involve the local community, the local women in the work that we do. So then, being the naive person that I was, I learned how to make DIY soap and lotion on YouTube videos. I purchased the materials, the raw materials. I went to the kampung and I taught them how to make this, you know, and we bounced the ideas that this could potentially be monetized. This could potentially turn into a business where the local women supply soaps or lotion during Kenduri Kawin instead of giving out junk food. Yeah, so
that's
they
right.
Didn't like the idea, but they didn't love it. And then about 2 months later, somebody approached me and asked me, "Mate, tada ke program in jahit?" So she asked me, isn't there a sewing program? That was when I realized that they wanted a sewing program. Yeah, okay. So it took us a couple of months to put together a sewing program. And then I also managed to rope in our funder, donor, Yayasan Bank Rakyat, who has been very generous. They not only sponsored 20 sewing machines for the first group of our 20 women, they have also enrolled these women in a sewing program, a one-year all-expenses-paid sewing program.
Wonderful.
So that is to upskill the local women, because some of them did admit that they are very interested in sewing, but they are not very skillful. Okay. Some of them told me that they want to use this opportunity to generate and an income, but they do not have a sewing machine, you know, things like that. Yeah, okay. So then we roped in Yayasan Bank Rakyat, and then we are able to do this. So I think when we last spoke in July last year, we didn't have any of these masks yet, right?
Not yet,
yeah,
no.
So I think we had the regular, the tote bags, the drawstring bags, the batu seremban, the straw pouches, right? Yeah, so in July or August last year, we released our Turtle Batik Motif fabric mask. And that has been our best seller in the past year.
And I mean, I've bought them as well. It's not just the mask, you also. There's even the outer layer, because a lot of us are double masking, right? And it really hurts around the ears. So you even did like a protective front layer as well.
Yes. So we developed the mask, the three-ply mask. And then we also had variations for those of us who want to wear the ear loops. And those of us who prefer to tie a piece of string at the back of our head, like surgeon mask, like hijab-friendly mask. Yeah,
that's right.
Then we also developed the outer mask that functions like a jacket that holds our medical mask together when we double mask. So that also reduces the pressure behind our ears.
That's right.
And some of us also wear spectacles, so that's like additional things we put on our ears. And you imagine wearing this the whole day. So that was.
I don't have to imagine it. I know it. It's awful.
right. It is. We have also been pretty lucky in a way that corporations also supported our initiatives, because they wanted to support the local communities. So sometime in November, December last year, we received large orders from corporate companies. You know, like 500, 300 pieces of masks. So, and the ladies are proud too, you know, each time when I tell them that the masks have been to places we have not been to. So our fabric, our turtle motif fabric masks have been shipped to countries like the US, the UK, France, China, India, and Australia.
That's amazing.
Right.
Yeah. They must be so thrilled as well to know that their work has gone to Australia.
They are thrilled, and I think it also motivates them to perform better, right? I don't have to tell you, you know, at the beginning of this mask-making process, because none of us were professional seamstresses, right? So we had to redo and redo like many times over. Yeah, and our quality control is very strict, because when we sell these masks, I want to ensure that we send out only good quality masks. Yeah, anything that is of sub-quality ones, I reject and I ask them to redo it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cracking that whip there. Okay. No, but I understand, because, you know, one bad review is all you need for, you know, everything to sort of fall apart, right? So you really want to ensure the best of the best is being sold out there. And I know that you also actually have a shop on Shopee, which is called Turtle Tales by TCS. You know, that's where I went and got all of my masks from. Right. Tell me about that.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we have had our followers on social media who encourage us to set up a Shopee store, because they said that, you know what, that's where the traffic is, that's where the shoppers are. I understand. I totally agree with our supporters, but we really couldn't find time to set up a store. You know, that was until April or May this year, when we were able to host two live-in student interns. And they were helping me with a big chunk of my daily work. So that was what freed me of the time to set up a Shopee store. So our Shopee store was finally set up in the middle of May, I think, this year.
Okay.
Yeah, right. And true enough, that's where the shoppers are. That's where people hang out most of the time. Yeah, so we have had pretty good response on Shopee just because you guys are there shopping.
So just remind us about what you do, what is available. There's a batik mask. There's but aside from the mask, there are lots of other things as well, isn't it,
right?
that are available?
Yep. So we have batik cloth. So in case you don't want to buy any of these things, you want to fashion it into a piece of a clothing, you know, like kebaya skirt, or you want to make your own cushion cover, pillow cover, you can do that. You can get our batik cloth. And we also have bags, a couple of different types of bags, drawstring bags, tote bags, travel, I shouldn't use this word, because we're not traveling. Toiletries, pouches, right?
We live in hope. So yes, it's all for the future. Yeah.
And then we also have multi-purpose bags, pouches for your cables, extra batteries and things like that. In addition to this, we also have our Tuntung t-shirts, help save our terrapins t-shirts in Malay, yeah. English. Also recently, we launched a series of collar pins. So we have released three different types of collar pins, the terrapin, river terrapin collar pins, the box turtle and the leatherback turtle collar pins. Right, and we also have games, like board games for kids, as well as Batu Seremban. That's for kids to practice their hand-eye coordination. And then we also have other things also for children. For example, a 3D paper mache in the form and shape of a sea turtle that you can color using color pencils or crayon or watercolor. Yeah, keychains, button badges.
Yeah, so yeah, lots of things.
Yeah, lots of things. Yeah, we try to give you a reason to spend more time on our shop. And we also try to give you suggestions on what you can gift to your friends, you know, on birthdays and Christmas.
Yeah. Everything. Like you said, everybody is shopping now. You know, we're stuck at home, so we are on these virtual platforms shopping. And these are wonderful gifts to give, because they're, of course, directly helping local communities, and indirectly, and not even indirectly, directly helping in conservation efforts as well. So it's like a win-win situation everywhere.
Yep, directly. Especially when you purchase any of our batik merchandise, you directly support the batik industry in Malaysia, which we all know is not doing very well. And you are also directly empowering the local women, and continue supporting them, continue showing them that they too can make a difference. And these ladies, I think they feel proud too that they are becoming a part of the solution, not the problem, right? It gives us great satisfaction also to see this program materializing, and how these local women transform from being a shy, timid housewife who has never made her own money to an entrepreneur, you know, who is now using the skills that she has to produce merchandise that we sell and make money. Yeah, it's been an honor for me as well to be on this journey with them.
And what a journey it's been for you as well, right? I mean, when you were studying conservation science, I really don't think you thought, you know, somewhere in your future you'd be helping to market masks.
Not at all. I remember back in university, we didn't have the option to take marketing classes because I was a science student. But still, never in my life I thought I would be doing this, you know, handling product development, R&D, product costing, how much profit margin we should make. And never.
Yeah, conservation work is so, I mean, yeah, you need so many different skill sets, right? It's not just
Definitely.
About the science. Of course, that's a huge part. But when you involve local communities, when you involve, you know, issues like poverty, issues like, you know, changing mindset, gosh, the amount of skill sets that you need.
Changing mindset, changing the behaviors of the local villagers who still continue to consume terrapin eggs. We also give informal motivational classes, you know, to the women. Yeah, because they like me, they never had a formal education on being an entrepreneur. None of us do, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we try to provide them with capacity building programs. For example, just this year, we hosted three workshops to teach the ladies basic photography using their handphone. So if they can make a very nice product, but they have they do not have skills to take good photographs of them, even if you put them up anywhere on social media or in a shop, in Shopee, you don't sell your products because your pictures aren't good, right?
Yeah.
Unappealing. Yeah.
That's
so then
right.
We have hosted a photography workshop. We have also hosted a product marketing, online marketing class. How do you do up your Facebook or your Instagram profile? How do you use a WhatsApp business to manage your business, you know, your clients, your customers? And then we also had a financial management class workshop. Like, you know, when whatever you're sowing now brings in money, you also need to be able to manage your finances. Otherwise, at the end of the day, you don't see money. Right? Yeah. And these workshops were possible due to a grant from Yayasan Hasanah. So you see, we have been receiving support from many parties and we are appreciative of this support shown to us, and we will continue to do what we can in our capacity to not just help the local villagers, but also the students, the local communities, and finally the Terrapins.
Of course, yeah. And I mean, even though you can't have, you know, in-person tours, you are also having virtual tours, am I correct? How can people participate or, you know, take part in those?
Right. So I think we started our virtual tour in May, Ramadan, April, May. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's also recent. So we started the virtual tours because we wanted to give the public a chance to join us because, you know, you can't come over, you know, the state borders are still closed. So then we started offering public virtual tours where you can sign up on our website. It's 20 ringgit. Initially, we say it's 20 ringgit per pax, per person. And then we realized we're not going anywhere, right? So let's just call it 20 ringgit per family. All of you watch us on your computer, on your television. So it's 20 ringgit per family now for public tours. So our next public tour will be on this Saturday. This coming Saturday, 7th of August at 9 a.m. You can sign up on our website. But apart from the public tours, we have also had requests for private tours. Well, this private tour started because kindergarten teachers, they contacted me and say, "Aiya, you know, we have 30, 40 kindergarteners. Sometimes they're not aware that their videos are switched on, you know, things like that." Yeah, so can we request for a group tour, like a private tour with no outsiders? I said, why not, right? And then because they were students, these kids, the teachers contacting me, I say, we'll give you a 50% discount. So that's half price. So that's half price for private tours, but we'll need a minimum of 30 pax.
Okay.
Yeah, so for anybody who would like to host these private tours for their kindergarten or their private schools or their primary schools or their companies or groups of friends, you can just write to me. My email is also on our website. And you can decide when you want to do it because it's your private tour. So we'll do it according to your suggested preferred date. So that's the private tour.
Okay. Yeah. And how long do the tours generally last, you know, if anyone's curious?
The tours are generally an hour long, but we have had tours that go on for 2 hours because our audience, they have many questions to ask me, and I want to try to answer these questions as much as I can. Right, so we have had a 1 hour 45 minutes tour, yeah, but it's generally 1 hour plus about 15 minutes questions and answer session.
Okay, all right, and this is, you know, you'll cater for any age group, you know, homeschooling, you know, all of us are stuck at home anyway, it's a wonderful opportunity.
And we recently received a request for a private tour for March next year from a school in the Philippines.
Oh, wow.
Right. Yeah. So that's our first international clients for virtual tours.
Okay. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, really exciting.
Endless possibilities there. So,
right,
you know, you're You're doing wonderful things. And of course, you know, if people just want to donate, that's also something that they can do, right? If they don't want to.
Of course. Yes. Well, yeah, we want to get out of this asking for donation cycle. Understood. Because that is not sustainable. It is good. We will continue to accept donations for those who say, like myself, I don't really buy things anymore because I have everything that I need, right?
Exactly.
So when I support a non-profit organization, I just want to make a donation. Yeah, if you could just issue me a tax deductible receipt, that would be nice. Yeah, so I'm pretty sure there are people like this who do not want to buy anything. So I don't want to force you to buy something. Yeah, you can still make a donation. But for others who want to also create more impact in addition to making a donation, for example, you want to support the local communities, the local women, then you can come to our shop and buy something.
Okay. All right. Excellent. And, you know, while all this is happening, you're still, of course, working on conservation of our river terrapins. Your scientific work still continues. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes. We are still doing research projects. For example, this year, we are, it's a three-year project, and we are on the third year this year. We are studying how the fungus species, we do not know which one, right? So we are studying how fungus affect the hatchability of our river terrapin eggs, because we noticed that in last year, this year, our hatching success isn't that great. And all things being constant since like 10 years ago, I'm baffled, you know, by the low hatching success that we are recording, that we are seeing last year and this year. So we are taking sand samples, eggshell samples to find out why. And this is part of our ongoing research and conservation program. It is done every year.
Okay. All right. So no rest for you really, pal. Our work continues, and a lot of extra work, actually. I think things have gotten even harder. But again, you know, if anybody would like to get in touch, I guess the best thing to do is head to the Turtle Conservation Society website at turtleconservationsociety.org.my. You also have social media channels, am I correct?
Yes, we do. We are also on Facebook. You can find us. You can search for us, Turtle Conservation Society of Malaysia. And we are also active on Instagram. And we also have a shop on Shopee. You can also search for us. It's called Turtle Tales by DCS.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Anything else you'd like to add? Pav, any last message that you'd like to leave us with?
Nothing in particular this time around, but please stay safe, guys. This pandemic, it has been prolonged, you know, like we thought it was going to be okay end of last year, but it seems like we are still not out of it yet. Stay safe, take care of ourselves, take care of our family and our neighbors.
All right. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me today. I've been speaking to Dr. Chen Pelfniok. She's the co-founder and executive director of the Turtle Conservation Society of Malaysia. We were finding out more about the work that they do and all the new things that they have incorporated, to deal with the issues brought about by the pandemic. Again, lend your support. Just head to turtleconservationsociety.org.my for more information. You can find the links to all the social media channels there as well. And lend your support. And if you miss any part of today's interview, or any previous Earth Matters interviews, just search for the podcast on the BFM app or at bfm.my/earth. This has been Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.